Hey there, guys and ghouls.
You're tuned in to broadcast from the Belfry, a fat cat podcast.
Right. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 content.
She's so mad! She just ripped the shit out of my... Continue.
We're playing Call of Cthulhu. You guys know what's up. I'm going to throw it to our keeper, Brandon. He's in the same room as Shannon right now. We're gonna scare me. What's been going on, Brandon?
Oh, hey. I'm your keeper of arcane lore, and so... In our last episode, you guys were doing a considerable amount of legwork. You checked out Professor Lighter's corpse, and Wheatcroft promptly left the premises with you alone, and you saw something a little frightening with his movements, maybe, hard to say. And then you've investigated a few people that are surrounding the case. You talked to his assistant, one Miss Court, and she disclosed to you that she was not very trusting of Professor Lighter and had a feeling that maybe he was up to no good, but chose to stay out of it as she's focused on furthering her academic ambitions. And she suggested to you that you might discuss further with a Mr. Flinders, a student of the university, Anthony, a very clean-cut, handsome young man who seems to have a particular fixation on the occult and witchcraft, which happens to be the subject of his thesis, and suggested to you that maybe Mr. Roach, the professor of history professors, sort of an academic rival to the late Professor Lighter, might be practicing witchcraft, at which point Victor investigated and found very quickly that that was bullshit. So, and then you broke into his dorm room and found some old texts on the Arkham witch trials and witchcraft, as well as two jars with hair and toenails and fingernails in them. It's hard to say, it could be either or. And yeah, that's and what happened recently is you investigated a closet, Doug, and found it was less than savory, although very neat. And Joe's purse caught on fire. So with that, and before we get going, let's just introduce your characters real briefly. Give us sort of your name and a general description, and just kind of temp check how your character's feeling about all this.
My name is Doug Sipple, Douglas Sipple for my enemies, and I'm an average height man, bartender by profession, and I'm currently near soling my shorts due to a lot of whispers that are going on in this room, in addition to the raging fire that is behind me.
Yeah, and then as it caught on fire and burst, it shredded your hose.
Yeah, 1920s Velma has her stockings ripped, and it's a horrible, horrible scandal.
Also, shout out that Velma's canonically a lesbian now. Woo!
Yeah.
Finally.
She's finally out. And your character's name is Georgia?
What?
What's your character's name?
Oh, I thought you were asking my character's sexual orientation.
Her sexual orientation is Velma as well, so let's just...
Yes.
If it's relevant.
Her name is Jo. Who knows what her real name is? No one does. It could be Josephine, could be Jolene, could be Joanna. No one knows at this point. So I think it does kind of make sense that she's canonically a lesbian, but no one knows for sure about that either. She's a 24-year-old museum curator, and she's got a weird obsession with glass, apparently.
That may come into play later. And you, Tell us about your guy.
My name is Shannon. I'm playing Victor, the 35-year-old explorer extraordinaire. Bisexual, though I'm sure not many people know that. But it does get lonely on those shipping vessels here to there as we're going from port to port.
Alright, and before we get into your next moves, we'll have Georgia and Sanjay roll sanity rolls for their respective things they've just encountered vis-a-vis a black mirror getting extremely hot and catching Georgia's purse on fire and disembodied voices in the seemingly possessed closet.
Last session, I took a total of 5 points in sanity, I believe, due to seeing some weird shit. So do I still have to roll below what that will reduce my sanity to?
Or
do
as it goes down, you have to a lower and lower number. Yeah.
I might calm down on doing the adventurous stuff now.
There are cracks for me.
I rolled
a success for me, thank you.
It is a Mondo big girl failure for me. I did not do well at all.
I would like to know that number.
It is an 80 versus my sanity, which is currently a 35.
Oof. Okay. That's definitely a fail, so I will see. I'll have you roll a d6. Sanjay and Georgia, go ahead and roll a d6 as well.
I succeeded!
Oh, sorry, my bad. Wow. Nice! Okay,
I got a 23, motherfucker.
23, what's your sanity right now?
59!
Excellent. Okay, so just go ahead and take one. You're gonna take one, because things catching on fire and overheating for no reason is pretty weird.
It's
fine. You are not immune to that. So, Sanjay, you have the privilege of being the first person to lose 5 in one go, which means you are up for failing an intelligence check to suffer a bout of madness.
Oh, no.
What I'm going to have you do is roll an intelligence roll, and this will determine. So what you want to do is you want to fail this. If you fail it, you will not understand the full weight of what you have just experienced, but if you succeed, your mind is fully grasping how real what just happened to you is. So go ahead and roll.
For the record, in the last, I don't know, one to 1.5 sessions, I haven't rolled below a 40 one time. So let's see if I can roll above a versus intelligence?
Yep.
See if I can roll above a 70. I've been wasting all my dog shit rolls. That's a 35.
Hell yeah.
He wants to roll. So you actually will suffer bad madness. So the opposite of that. You cannot see any justification. Go ahead and edit that out in post. you can't see any justification for what's just happened. This is like, there are ghosts. Ghosts are real or something. And
remember, I was talking about how last time I failed this shit, I tried to shoot Shannon's character. It was a great time for everyone.
Yeah. You know what the best part was? She chose to do this. I was like, this is what you want to do. Describe to me how you're going to do it. And she's like, I'm going to try and shoot. All right. So, this is hilarious. Okay, something has happened in your mind. You are developing a new mania. And, let's see, these kind of get a little bit weird, and if I was more familiar, I might give you one a little bit more fitting, but I'm not going to scan through this right now. You have hilariously developed a lotteromania, which means you are now obsessed with betting and lotteries. So, the way this will work is I have told you what your fixation is, and basically, what I'll have you do is you're going to play this out like it's part of your character now. And a mania is, it'll last for a while, but we'll sort of taper it down. But right now, it's like, it's what you think, you know, I've been really taking chances with my life. I'm going to take chances with my money. And because that's just how insanity works. It doesn't make any sense. So you're fixated on that now. You think, you know, you're feeling like you have to gamble. You have to gamble in some way that makes you feel like you're a little bit more in control of your life. So I will leave that to you how you want to play it. But if you consistently refuse to play into that, I'll start making you suffer negatives, is how that'll work.
Achievement unlocked. Gambling addiction.
Yeah. It's also funny, because like, I think it was right after we stopped recording before, I said that I'd been playing it very safe, and that like it would make sense in character that like all I wanted to do was just like, oh yeah, none of this is real, it doesn't make sense. And I was acting like very straight and narrow with it. So now it's like, you know, this one thing kind of fucked me up. Let's start betting on the ponies. You know, if everything else I know is fake, let's...
I've been doing so well, haven't been injured in any way. I think I'm just going to start... I think my luck has really turned around. I'm going to start betting it all.
You have the ledger. You can see what Charles has been up to.
So, however
He's
you
dead,
think Doug
so...
would go about...
Not well.
However you think Doug would go about doing that. Okay, but you guys are pretty much at the point, I believe you said, where you want to get out of this room.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a group...
And by the way, the books I have also caught on fire since they were in the same bag, was my understanding.
I am stamping it out as quickly as possible to salvage whatever I can.
Okay. Make me a luck roll, I guess.
That's a 7.
Wow. Okay. Well, the bag is pretty badly burned, but the books seem to be in fairly good shape. They're a little cinched on the edges, but still legible if you were to read them.
Okay.
But your bag's gonna fall apart if you carry it around, so...
Probably just kind of scoop it up together.
Well, hey, with such a nice luck roll, there's a spare book bag in this room.
Alright, let's steal it. Is there anything else in it?
Pencils, paper, you know, normal college kid stuff.
More?
Some more toenails.
Gross.
A dead cat, maybe, I don't know.
Back to school savings.
I just got an email from my coworker's cat. Sorry.
When we last I looked in the closet, I heard some whispering. Is that still going on, or did it stop like pretty abruptly?
It as soon as you smelled smoke and turned around, it seemed to pretty much cease immediately.
The whispering just went. Bet all your money on black. Let it ride.
Miss Joe, I believe we do need to head to the nearest purveyor of bets, gambling, and debauchery. I mean, we should definitely go to the Roadhouse. I think that there may be clues with Miss Lucy, if you're okay going there and wagering, following the leads that we've been given.
Yeah, so just to give a recap, in case we're running dry, so while you guys have left the dorm room, and I'll leave that to you to think about how you want to close up when we get back to you. Victor, what you have just, I'm assuming you are done talking to Professor Roach, or do you want to keep spinning your wheels there?
No, I will, I'm, now that I know that I have the key to the cabin, I'm taking a leisurely stroll across the grounds to...
So it's not actually on the grounds, but it's not far. It's on the on the outer edge. Like, you have the campus proper, and then it's like cottages around on the outsides of the campus. And do you want to go back to the dorm and fetch?
Yeah, if that's the case.
You turn around to leave and he hits you. I would love that, but I wouldn't do that. He's not crazy. I'm not crazy.
Thank you for that. Yeah, then if that's the case, Victor will leave Roach's office, feeling like he found an absolute dead end, but also not really, because he knows now that Roach doesn't do black magic. So yeah, he's gonna start strolling back up to the dorms, Tony's room. And I guess we're taking a brief pause here.
A brief potty break.
Alright, as you make your way back to Tony's dorm, Doug and Joe, why don't you describe to him what he's seeing as he turns the corner?
I I probably am, like, holding all my stuff in my arms very awkwardly, and they're probably, smoking a little bit. Might be able to smell them, even.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Doug? What are you looking like as he turns the corner and sees you walking out of it, Tony's dorm room?
Very jittery, I would say. A little bit shaken. And just trying to, like, regain a little bit of composure. And just, like, messing with my shirt, messing with my jacket a little bit, and looking around.
I like the idea of you just sort of, like, fiddling with your wallet, like, it's burning, like, the money's literally burning hole, and you're like...
we encountered a situation in which the piece of mirror was on fire, so was my wallet. My wallet also was burning a hole in my pocket. So if we could get rid of, if we could liquidate this cash, it would be very advantageous.
All right, you come around the corner, you see this scene unfolding in front of you, much to your chagrin, probably. But you've got a head injury, who knows? And at first you think you're having a stroke because of the burning smell.
Quite the opposite. I see them. I see Doug trifling through his billfold, counting how much money he has on him, and I see a charred stocking Joe carrying a bunch of books and broken glass, and I just think to myself, yes, I remember my college days.
Okay, so you've left the book bag behind, I take it.
Well, she found a new book bag, I guess.
Well, she's carrying the books.
No.
I forgot.
Okay. So you have a bag and there's some smoke coming out of it. And as you turn the corner and you all give each other a semi-knowing glance, someone walks out and he's like, "I smell fire! Fire!" He runs down the hallway screaming fire, and then, like, all hell breaks. Like, at the doors, like, swing open and the students are out running around.
Over the sound of the chaos again. "I have a lead! Everyone follow me! We're getting in the car! Excuse me, ma'am. Excuse me, sir!"
Yeah, they're all rushing. So, you guys hear him say this over the pandemonium.
Excuse me, ma'am. I do believe he is referring to my associate and I. And I'm also, like, I see Victor's kind of just, like, gently pushing people, like, aside and trying to, like, shoulder in to, like, make eye contact. And I'm also just, like, that, like, hand through the crowd, like, "Oh, excuse me," kind of thing. Like, gently trying to, I'm just gonna move right past you. I'm sorry.
All right, yeah, so you guys make your way, hoping to slip discreetly out of the building without any further trouble. You were told which parking lot, I believe it was the east lot, and it was a black sedan of sorts. Maybe it was a Cadillac or some such make. I've had no inclination to research cars of the age. So you make your way to the car, and after some perusing, you find the vehicle. Who will be driving?
Probably
a woman.
Me.
I don't know how to drive.
Yeah.
You're not allowed.
With your delicate disposition and your looks around. Barren ankles, it is probably not in your best interest that you drive, Mr. Victor, and I make eye contact with him.
It would be helpful if you got pulled over.
As you look over, I'm trying to adjust my hat further to sit better on my bandages.
Yeah, I'll drive.
Okay, excellent. I was hoping. Alright, so you get in, start the car, and you know you don't have to go far, but you also have had some other leads that may take you further afield, so you figure maybe more prudent to take the car in case you need to go further out. You don't have to go far, a few blocks, but you're approaching where you know roughly the cottages to be that are owned by the university, and you know the street address for Lair's cottage, and you, as you're driving, you see a small store with a little standing sign out front that says lottery tickets sold here.
You said this is as we're driving by, or as
This is just like on a side street as you're passing by on your way to the cottage.
As we drive driving towards the cottage, I'll like kind of like run my fingers across the steering wheel for a moment and just like get really tense. Say, "Oh, I do apologize. I believe I forgot a gift for my mother, and we may need to stop on the way back. I'm so sorry, but it is very pressing. In addition to the matters we're going through currently."
I love that you're keeping it a secret. That's even better. Okay, yeah, you turn a quick turn into the parking lot and run inside. "Well, hello, son, what can I do for you?"
As he runs in, I look at Joe and I say, "I thought his mother died 5 years ago."
I'd like to make a wager if this is the place to do so.
"Oh, we're here to buy a ticket, so yeah, absolutely. Just a moment." And he goes back. "Okay," and he takes your numbers. How many would you like?"
"Oh, just one, please. I think that'll suffice for the day."
"Are you sure?"
"Oh, most definitely. Just one should suffice. Thank you kindly."
"Oh, okay." And he hands it to you. You pick your numbers.
I look at the numbers and immediately I'm like, "One more, please. I don't think this isn't feeling correct. I think maybe just one more."
"Okay. Yeah, of course, son. Just one more." And he spreads a radio receipt for another one.
Make a luck roll.
I was thinking, yeah, go ahead and make a luck roll.
Bum, bum, bum. That is a 6. That is, ooh, okay. Oh.
Too bad. So I wasn't necessarily having you roll against your luck. This is more like, this is the lottery. You'd have to definitely roll one to win.
Yep.
But, you know, "Oh, yeah, actually, I do have the numbers here." He says, "Oh, you win a small prize. You got some of the numbers here." He gives you like a fresh $5 bill, which is a pretty good amount of money.
Small
win.
Yeah, when he reaches out to hand me the $5, I clasp his hand with both of mine and say, "Thank you so much for your investment, into which will hopefully be a very lucrative future for the both of us. I will be back again."
And he trust me. "Give you one more for luck."
"I would love to put one on the house, and we'll like buy another lottery ticket."
Okay, you buy another one. It's a flop. Okay, so that's not really how the lottery works, but let's all suspend our disbelief. So while he's in the store buying lottery tickets, what are you guys talking about, my God?
I think at this point, Joe would ask if Victor looked in the mirror or saw anything weird in what's-his-nuts' office.
Lighter?
Yeah. What's-his-nuts?
As soon as he realizes that you're talking to him, he looks up from your burnt leggings, and he goes, "Oh, sorry, didn't mean to be gawking. Let's see, what is today? Yes, I did see, well, as I looked in the mirror, I was smackled on the back of the head." He will gesture to the top of his head, not that it needs addressing. And then he says, "And it was the strangest thing. I mean, I've been hit in the head before, and dare I say I've never quite hallucinated, but there was a moment shortly after when I looked at the perpetrator, Professor Roach, where exiting into the hallway, I saw a shadowy figure. Very bizarre, but I did lose consciousness very shortly after, and not being a superstitious man, I didn't pay much heed to it, but since you asked, that is what I saw."
All right, and at that moment, Doug sits back in the car and commences to drive to the cottage.
All right.
Now, go ahead. Go ahead, Doug.
"Thank you again. My mother will be much appreciative of being able to get a gift for her."
see you tucking lotto tickets in your pocket.
It's like sticking out very flagrant. Like you can just, out in the open.
Not even doing a terrible job hiding it, but he doesn't care. Hello. You make your way to the area where you know the cottages are. You're sort of taking a slow go of it because you know the number, but you're not exactly familiar with the personal housing area associated with Miskatonic University. And You know you're on the right street, and you're a few houses away, and suddenly, the car dies as you approach the premises. It just cuts out. Go ahead and make a drive auto check for me.
Okay, I'm glad I wasted my only good roll of this campaign on that luck. Okay, so I rolled a 23, and my drive auto is 20, so I'm going to use the 3 points.
Fantastic. It startles you at first, but you, you're pretty quick on your feet, and you sort of crank it out of the roadway, and you let it glide into a parking position on the curb just in front of the house.
Good Lord, Doug, what was that all about?
I learned that maneuver in Tokyo. I'm pretty proficient driver, if I do say so myself.
Very well. Yeah,
of course you are. That's why I took the gamble to have you drive.
Cue the Tokyo Drift theme music.
You took the what? On me driving?
Oh, gamble, sir. You're a safe bet. You always have been. I always wager my money on you, good sir.
Hand migrates towards my back pocket. We should get out of the car. I think it's about time we go inside.
Thick beads of sweat begin to form on Doug's brow. Okay, so you park the car, and you're very perplexed at why it's cut out on you. The other two, Joe and Victor, you see a very quaint, relatively small cottage standing among many like it, and just seems a pretty plain, well-kept little cottage.
I will say, Doug, you stay here. See if you can't get this automobile up and running. We'll need it if we're to investigate the cottage up north of where this hubbub seems to have originated. Me and Joe here. Josephine, Jolene, Jocelyn.
Joplin, I believe, is her proper.
Joplin,
name.
Thank you, Doug. Joplin. Of course. And I will go investigate the cabin. You stay here.
Are you willing to bet on that?
I look up at the clouds.
Go to the Hall of Rifters with cash in hand. I need a file. Who is this woman? So he's staying with the car for a moment to sort of figure out what's going on, and the two of you go up to the front door.
I will pull out the keys and unlock the door.
You're going through the keys, and it's just very confusing to you. You're not really sure why. You're just having a really hard time. You're looking at the lock, and then you're like, oh, it must be... And you're like, okay, that's what the key looks like. And you look down at the ring of keys, and you're like, wait, what did the lock look like? And then you look back at the lock, and then you look at the keys, and you look back at the lock, and Joe is watching you do this.
I just take a heavy sigh and pass the keys off to Joe.
Okay.
Made of skills, am I right? Am I right, Doug?
I don't believe I've driven a car, but I do not understand the motor skills inherently.
All right, you come up onto a porch, that's where the front door is, and Joe, upon opening it, you enter into what appears to be a study.
Oh, I love a good study.
Mm-hmm. Nerd. That's not a southern accent.
Oh, that's right. Right, you are, and in the study, sorry, it was a bit of a lazy description. You walk in and you're greeted by two love seat sized couches opposing one another, and armchair sort of walling off a fireplace with a lamp in the corner. It's pretty bare bones. First thing you notice that's kind of weird is it seems to be a little bit out of sorts, you know, like the one of the couches isn't square, like it's been bumped into or shifted in some way. There's a couple of papers on the floor strewn about, and there are two doors, one directly across the room from you, two across the room from you. Lounge, I apologize. More lounge than a study. Double doors to your left, and also in front of you, just to the left of the door, is a set of stairs. So, three doors, two singles, one double, and a set of stairs. And it's oddly warm in here. Just like it, on a cold October day, there's no fire in the fireplace. It seems to be, the fireplace seems to have been used semi-recently. It's not smoky or smelling or smoke in here. It's just there's, it's like it didn't burn everything that was in the fireplace itself. And that's what you come to look at.
My bag gonna catch on fire again?
I don't know, let's find out.
Fish around for, can you stop? I'll fish around for the mirror, I guess.
Okay. Victor?
I see her fish around for the mirror or something in her bag. I will go into the room. Obviously, as you described it, one of the first things, I'm just going to pick up one of these pieces of paper off the floor and give it a quick once over.
They appear to be, this particular one you picked up, is a receipt. And it's dated the 12th of September. So last month, you're on like October 1st, so 2 weeks ago or so. And it says, locksmith, 12 noon, one door lock, one window lock.
Does it give an address at all, or?
It can be assumed that it's here.
Julia? I look over at Joan. Has she pulled out a piece of mirror yet?
Oh yeah, she's looking around.
Joe, what is it that you keep doing with that shard? I have to say, I'm a bit trepidatious being around it after...
And I point vaguely at my face.
Okay, I guess I would explain. Seeing a shadowy figure with glowing eyes in the office after Victor was attacked, and then the hand moving on Leiter's corpse, and then how the dorm room was completely black, and the glass got hot before my bag caught on fire.
See, most peculiar indeed.
I will quickly turn around as if I'm expecting to see a shadowy figure there.
The door? Well, yeah, you walked in a little bit. It was sort of lying near the armchair, let's say. You hear a noise upstairs.
Okay.
It's like a shuffling or something. It's hard to say what it is.
Is it loud? Does it sound like there's a person up there? Like a window open?
You roll a listen check.
That's a 10 versus my 20.
Alright, it's hard success. It doesn't sound... It sounds like a shifting of weight. Possibly. That's your best guess. I mean, you can't say for sure. It's relatively new house, so it's not like it's ancient, but... It something has moved, and it's not violent. It was a steady move.
I will look at Joan and say, "I heard something," and I will approach the bottom of the staircase and I will shout up,
"Whoever's up there, I have you know. There are other folks in the house, and we are."
I look at Joe and I look for some sort of signal. And I see her holding the glass, and I look back up.
We are professional detectives! And I have you know, unless you're planning on jumping out a window, there's only one way out. And I have you know, this house is surrounded by the best chauffeur and valet this side of the Atlantic. My head hurts.
Are you talking, and you're just like holding your head together while you're shouting up the stairs? It feels like it's splitting in half. You hear like a, sort of like a nervous wince. It's barely audible with your pretty good listen check. Whoever or whatever is up there, it does not seem like it's in any way of a significant threat to you. With that, we'll go back outside to Doug. And what do you want to do, Doug, with this car that's stalled as it pulled up to the house?
Probably open up the hood and look around, see if anything's
excellent.
On fire.
That's excellent. There does not appear to be anything on fire, but I'll have you roll a mechanical repair check, which your skill in that is probably not awesome. It's not a common one that people tend to take.
Okay, so my mechanical repair skill is a 10, but I rolled another 23. I will take the failure here, though. I probably should not burn 13
okay.
more luck.
That's fine. You're looking at it, and even with a fail, you look at it, and you know, you're not exactly a mechanic. You don't necessarily own a car, or maybe you do. It depends on your credit rating or cash in hand sort of stuff, which I imagine will be reduced in short order with your new mania. You don't see, nothing is leaking or dripping. There's nothing on fire. There's no smoke. Everything, it's not like a super clean engine, but it nothing leaps out at you. It's just, it seems normal as far as you can tell. So I'll leave that to you to decide what you want to do from there.
I'll I'll pull out like a tire iron or something, hit it against the side of the engine.
Okay, you do that.
Seems that something in this area may be affecting the mechanics more than just the apparatus themselves. Or and then he's gonna slam the car hood, put the tire iron away. So I'll go relay the information, but it seems we may be stranded here for quite a while. I hope that the numbers aren't pulled while I'm gone. And then he's gonna go inside.
Test it again if you want. I mean, we'll just say that whatever you're doing here will be happening coincidentally with what's just happened with the other two. So you'll come in unless something takes up your time. Otherwise,
yeah, let's do it live. Let's see. Okay.
Let's do it live.
So I'm gonna burn 4 luck points to make that work.
Oh, no, you don't have to roll to start the car.
Okay,
you know how to do it.
Okay,
That's pretty straightforward. Only when it's something that, like, is beyond, like, the normal capability. So, and back in this day, they didn't necessarily have keys, so you just had to hit a button or a crank or whatever. So, you
the original Tesla.
Start, hell yeah.
Yeah,
you put the handle on, it starts right up. The damnedest thing. So strange.
Peculiar.
Yeah. So I'll leave you to decide what you want to do now that you know it started up.
I'm actually going to drive away for a little bit to the point where the car just started to stall. So not like trying to haul ass, but just like a very slow, like me.
A little test drive. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems to be handling okay. It gives you a little bit of a fit, but it seems to be like an electrical, like the lights flicker on it. When you first crank it, it was a little bit odd, but as you drive it down the block and back, it seems fine.
Maybe there was a ghoul in my gas tank. And he's going to just park and then go back inside, actually check the gas tank, check under the hood again beforehand just to make sure everything looks good. But yeah.
All right, you do that, and then if you want to go inside the house, I'll have them describe what they've just found to you as you walk in.
You see me shouting up the stairs.
Holding some glass again.
She's looking at some glass. Is quickly becoming Joe's MO. There's some papers scattered around the floor. And there's a chair or a love seat bumped out of the way, almost as if signs of a struggle. And it's weirdly warm in here. And there's also a series of doors that I don't quite remember the way.
Did you two get in a struggle after arriving inside? I've only been gone a few moments, I believe.
That would be weird if we did. Doug?
Doug! Shh! Seems there's someone upstairs. Or something!
I can guess now we should actually wait for Brandon to get back. Well.
All right, so now you're standing in the lounge area. Go ahead and let's see, what do people want to do? You found the receipt. That's something. Resting on the floor. So, Doug, you've just entered the room. I'll just sort of do once over. There's just a general seating arrangement. Things are a little bit askew. It's not like anything's toppled over. A few papers scattered around. Three doorways, one stairwell, and a fireplace that seems to have something like a fire that hadn't quite burned all the way through in it, which is a bit odd. It's not burned down to ash.
And Joe is walking around with a piece of mirror, and I'm shouting up the stairs.
Yeah, and that's where you're at. You found Victor staring intently up the stairs, and Joe walking around with a shard.
Upon walking in, it's a bit of a struggle, and I'll make my way over to the fireplace and see if heat is radiating out from it. If the room is a little bit warm, see if that's the cause, or if it's just like general.
It is not the source of the heat. It feels just as warm over the fireplace, but as you reach it, you see that multiple documents have been burned, and there are pieces of some left. And you see the word forgery like multiple times on some of them. Which is a bit odd to you. And that's pretty much all you can glean from what you found on the papers in the fireplace is forgery, and like the rest of it is sort of incoherent. That just seems to be the word that pops up multiple times.
I'm gonna give a quick reach in, trying to just grab. Are these handwritten or are they typed up?
Yeah, handwritten.
Yeah, I'll reach in and grab a big piece that looks like it has like a fair amount of writing left on it, just to compare that for the future, and immediately kind of just like clap it between my hands to extinguish the flame.
Oh no, it's not burning. This is like it has burned, but it didn't burn down all the way.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, then yeah, I'll just grab one of those, fold it up for later reasons.
Excellent.
I think,
Victor, you've heard of from upstairs.
Yeah, I'm assuming I'll see Doug walk over to the fireplace. I'm going to do one of these. And I'm going to point at the fire poker that's by the fire, and I go...
Alright, so, Doug, Victor is just gestured to you toward the poker next to the fireplace.
I'm sorry. What is this item again? I'm so sorry. The poker reminds me of another obligation I have. What's going on with this?
Yeah, you struggle for a moment. You're fixated on gambling. and then you realize he's looking directly at like the brush or the fireplace.
Very, very over the top pantomiming to the doing the hook with a poke, and I'm like,
I love that.
Yes, the fire stoker. Yes, the stoker, not the Anyway, what's going on with this thing? And I'll go over and just grab it, I guess.
Yeah, he's not making any attempt to be quiet. He's no idea what's going on because
give it to me.
I'm sorry. Let me and I'll grab it and just like hand it over, sticky side towards me, over to Victor.
Thank you. Grab it, and I post up. As if I'm a Spartan looking up the stairs.
Okay.
Anyways, that's what I'm doing on my turn. I don't know what Joe's up to.
Yeah, Joe, what are you doing? The mirror is a bit weird. It's just strange. It's kind of wavy. It's like imagine the effect of heat waves as you're looking through it, but it is reflective.
Seeing anything in it?
No, nothing out of the ordinary. I mean, what you're looking at is what you're looking at.
It's really hard. Okay. so I want to go upstairs.
Okay, you're going upstairs. Joe walks past you, wielding the fire poker, and you're just sort of like, you know, like aiming up, and she just sort of like walks in front of you and starts going upstairs. We'll say, Doug, what are you doing in this moment? After you've handed the poker off, you see Joe going upstairs and Victor is sort of readying himself.
Is there anything else around that's an easy weapon or even just like a bottle?
There's one of those little brushes that are usually accompany the stokers for the fireplace.
Sweet. Yep, I'll grab that and hold it like a major league batter. And just ready, yeah, ready to go.
Choked up. All right. And then, just imagine you're like, hey, you want to take bets on what's up there?
I would wager that there's something supernatural going on upstairs. I hear it's a pretty good margin if you, well, actually, wait the whole time. Hey, so, would you like to wager on what's upstairs? I would, just like whispering right in Victor's ear.
He's literally got like a $5 bill in his hand.
Yeah.
I look at Doug with his broom and I say, call those the sweepstakes. And I just start going up the stairs after Joe. Laughing.
Pause. I'll pause for a second, put down, like, drop both arms, you know, brush in one, $5 bill in the other. Maybe I've made a mistake with my life choices up to now. And then I'll just shake my head and keep going up.
I regret every decision that's led me to this point. All right, Joe, you reach the top of the stairs while they're making bedding jokes downstairs. You're greeted the image of a fairly plain hallway, a few pictures on the wall. They seem to be, like, just general blah decor art. Save for one, which does seem to have kind of a darker look to it. It's fairly fine oil piece and seems to be a portrait of Leiter himself.
Well, last time I looked at a piece of art in a hallway in this fucking game, something horrible happened.
I'm gonna meta and say that nothing that terrible will happen in this moment.
Okay, well, I'm gonna look at it anyway.
You look at it, and look over it. It's fairly nice. It's fairly good representation. Probably, it's not exactly how you remember him, but he actually seems to not be agonized in this particular painting. He looks very stern and a little austere. And on the bottom corner, it is signed with an artist's signature, and it says C. Hunter.
Oh, that guy. Doorways or rooms?
Yes, there are three doors, one in front of you, two in front of you, side by side, very close to each other, and two doors, that was the wrong floor. Three doors, one to the left, one to the right, one in front of you, and then there's a guardrail at the top of the stairs that goes back, and then there's seems to be a corner that wraps around behind you.
Let's start on the left.
You go to the left. You open the door, and you are greeted by the sight of a a woman barely peeking above the bed, and she's like got her hands on it, and she looks terrified. and as you open the door, she's like, oh, just lets out like a little whimper.
I don't imagine. Well, what's my charisma? My charm is 15. Okay, pretty socially awkward. I spend all my time in a museum.
What about Joe, though? How is she affecting the situation?
Fuck you. So she'll probably just say,
what are you doing here?
Are you Lucy?
Who are you? I am. Why? Who are you? What are you doing? What are you doing in? I forgot his first name. Charlie. What are you doing in Charlie's house? She's quivering.
Just trying to find some answers there, little lady.
Oh, I'm sorry, are you actually an old man?
You don't know my sexual orientation? Fuck you.
You've already confirmed you're canonically a lesbian, so I do know your sexual orientation. Well, and she happens to be very attractive. As with basically everybody in this campaign. She seems a little bit disarmed that you know her, so she sort of begins to stand up. She's very timid looking, and she has her hands sort of tucked behind her back, and she's sort of got her shoulders drawn in tight and her legs are together. She's clearly very uncomfortable. What do you mean? I'm trying to figure I don't understand. I've never seen you before. You don't know Charlie. I don't know what's going on. As you're sort of trying to figure out how to talk with her, you two reach the top of the stairs and you hear talking coming from the door to the left.
I do believe the apparition may be speaking with Miss Jo. If you would like me to take the lead, I can.
Is that what you're going with? Right, like you're like, oh my god, this is it.
that's what I'm saying to Victor, 100%. Like I am like ready to fight a ghost at this point.
Well, you've been very lucky. You better charge in there.
No, so yeah, I'll say that to Victor, like kind of just like over your shoulder a little bit, like to you as we're like walking up and reaching the top of the stairs.
Does Victor think this is it?
I'm assuming I've heard Joe talking not in a concerned voice.
Go ahead and make a listen.
God damn it. I mean, there's definitely no way I've probably heard Lucy. That's a 37 versus my 20. I will not push it or spin luck.
You're not sure. You definitely hear Joe, you know what she sounds like.
I will, at this point, I am unsure of Joe. She's admitted to me that she saw a spooky spook at one point. I also did, but I thought I was hallucinating. So, and she's also been walking around with a piece of mirror. I'm just going to say, yes, Doug, you check that out. I'm going to check the other rooms.
Yeah, it could be something weird. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Of course. Okay.
Which room will you be going into?
Can I see a...
No, you cannot see the map.
So
door in front of you, door to the left where you're hearing voices, door to the right.
Just go to the door in front of me.
The water closet. Bathtub. Bathtub, toilet, sink.
Nothing seems amiss?
Not even remotely.
Right. Then I will squeeze behind Doug and I'll go to the room on the right.
The room on the right is a bedroom. You walk in, there will be a door immediately to your left. Ahead of you is a sort of a curio or like a nightstand, really wide, with a little vanity on top of it. A queen-size bed and a fireplace in the far corner. There is another door that apparently leads into the hallway on the other side of the room. Okay. And it appears that this is the guest bedroom.
Alright, I'll give it a once over while they're dealing with Lucy.
Okay, well, as you peruse it while you're listening, you're not really finding anything compelling in here. It just seems to be left vacant for visitors and the like. Alright, so Doug, you're gonna go in, huh?
Yep, I'm going to go into the room on the left where I hear the voices.
are you... Describe to me the way in which you're entering the room. You've got a weapon in hand.
Wait, I would like to first say that I'm probably still kind of standing in front of the door. So like...
Yeah. All right, as you go to turn in, you're greeted by the scene of Joe's back, and she seems to just be staring off into the corner of the room, talking to someone.
I would also just like to paint the picture. I shouted, "We are professional detectives." You know, he's walking in with a fireplace sweeper.
I think, yeah. So is the door open currently, or did you close it?
It's open.
Cool. So as I kind of like, I'll like creep up the steps and then jump the last two, and then he got major league stance, ready to swing, see Joe's back, and squint, look over her shoulder a little bit on like either side, and try to see what she's staring at.
You cannot. You're sort of like, her back is sort of to you. She's looking into the room off to the side, so she's not looking dead on. It does seem to be hotter upstairs.
Okay, I will.
Beginning to get muggy and uncomfortable.
I'll, you know, extend my like close to my left leg towards her, and then like quickly pull my right one behind it, kind of like shuffling so I can still keep my stance. But I'd like to roll spot hidden to see if anything else in this like landing is really weird, or if anything else is causing this like physical discomfort as I'm getting closer to Joe.
No, not necessarily. It just feels generally excessively warm up here. Like, to the point where it's uncomfortable, like your clothes are beginning to stick to you, that sort of thing.
My vest, no. And yeah, I'll keep, like, side shuffling towards Joe until I'm right behind her. Miss Joe, is something amiss over here. You seem preoccupied.
You look over your shoulder, and there is Doug standing with a batting stance and a fireplace sweeper.
Kind of point. Obviously what I'm looking at, and say, it's Lucy.
Oh, and by the way, I imagine while you're talking to Lucy, you're literally clutching a shard of glass. like Lucy, you have an improvised weapon. So, just for a little bit of flavor there. She hears Doug's voice, and she's, oh my gosh, how many people are in here? I don't know. I can't tell you anything. I don't know. I haven't even seen his body. I want to say goodbye to Charlie. And she's just very...
I'm going to say, no, you don't.
Oh my gosh, have you seen him? Oh my... And she just seems to be going to tatters. Sort of putting her head in her hands, she goes, I knew he was gonna get himself into something he couldn't get out of.
Can I see Lucy at this point?
Yeah, if you go into the room, you can see her.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm like right behind Joe, like, oh, like right next to her.
Yeah, you definitely know it's just a woman now.
Cool.
You think? No. You go in and you find this fairly good-looking young woman in her mid-20s, peroxide blonde hair. She's got sort of a trim haircut and just sort of clasping her head in her hands. What do you do?
I'm sorry for your loss, ma'am, not dropping the stance. Partially for Joe at this point, partially for Lucy. Like, someone's probably gonna hit me with something, and I'm not here for it. I'm sorry for your loss, ma'am. I understand the importance of a last rite. When was the last time you saw the professor, or Charlie, as I believe you called him? I heard you back down the stairs.
So this would have been about. It's been about a week, and I can't take it. I'm a nervous wreck. She's She's very skittish. It's not dissimilar to the way you heard Lighter's behavior being described.
I'll say, as nicely as I can, a gorgeous woman like you, I know, has a home of her own, and I assume does not remain in the abode of those who have deceased. Why are you here currently?
Well, I came to stay here from time to time, and he gave me a spare key, you see, and I didn't know what to do. I couldn't be at work right now. I work at a sort of public house across town, I needed some place to be alone, I just couldn't bear the thought of being anywhere else. Again, she's very.
Are you aware of what might have caused the end of our dear friend?
They only tell me a heart attack, and I just know he was mixed up with some bad folks, and I don't know. I probably had something to do with what he was working on. He seemed to go to tatters after reading that dreadful stack of pages.
Well, I can tell you for certain that something attacked him, judged by his face.
She's sort of like, limply struts across the room and like throws herself on you. She's like, oh.
I'm not moving. I'm still like clutching this brush.
And you are a stone statue.
Yeah, it's her falling against me.
At this point, Victor, you've perused the room and you hear some kerfuffle going on next door.
Okay. I'll poke my head in. I will see some random woman draped across Doug. I'll still see Joe standing there. And I'll look at Jonah and say, who is this?
Lucy.
Don't. And she's like wiping some of the mascara out of her eyes while still clutching on to Doug.
I tip my hat. Hello, Lucy.
I know he was making fake documents. That's how he was able to afford so many trips to Atlantic City. We went back a few months, and he lost big, and I just know he went in debt to the wrong people. I just know, and he could never stay away from the tables.
Oh, gambling! Hell of an addiction! You'll never catch me spending a rotten wheat penny on such an endeavor. Anyone that I ever catch gambling, Lucy, I swear to goodness, I'll give him a good slapping around the face.
On a completely unrelated note, is anyone aware of what bets Professor was making? I do hear that some of them are worse than others and better than others, and I think that we can discern a lot from his erratic behavior towards the end of his death. So if you have a ledger of some sort, or his funds, or his bookie, or where he was staying, or, you know, anything to kind of give me insights, give us insight into how we can make some heads or tails... of this situation, that would be very, very kind of you. And I've dropped the broom with this brush, and I'm just like hand on her shoulder, trying to like charm her and get as much information as I can. I'm trying to make it big. I hear Atlantic City is wonderful this time of year, also unrelated to the plight of the recently deceased.
Well, as I said, I know he was in with some pretty rough types, but there was this man, I just had, I'm so sorry. Is this man that he dealt with, Mr. Wick, Mr. Abner Wick, I think he was. I never met him in person, but I know that he would sell to him on occasion, but Charlie would sell these things wherever he could.
I've just walked away at this point, and I'm just like, all right, Mr. Wick, Atlantic City, gambling, bets. Oh, I'd like to pull out the ledger at this point that we got from before, the book that had some stuff, and try to roll accounting with the information we have now to see if any of this makes sense.
Well, I can tell you that without rolling accounting, you definitely see Abner Wick's name in there. listed quite clearly. And with what she's told you, it's given you some context. But yeah, I'll have you. You can push the roll for accounting.
Not even a bonus die.
With a bonus die, sure.
Oh, what does that mean?
What do you have in accounting?
I have a 45, and I rolled a 30.
Oh, well, we'll take that. Bonus die, if I give you a bonus die, basically it just means you roll your 10s, but your 1s die stays the same. So if you were to go ahead and roll a d10 real quick, we'll just go over what that would be as an example.
6.
So that your bonus die would be a 60, but your 30 was lower, so you'll take the 30. So that's an advantage, and if it's a disadvantage, same rule, except you take the higher number.
Oh, cool.
So okay. 30, you pass. You understand very fully that this man was making money hand over fist, and he was spending it in greater measure. So, I mean, he was consistently in the red. It was not good. This man was very clearly a gambling addict and could barely tread water. And it seems to you that maybe this current job, since it was so historically significant, that he thought he could get a pretty penny off of it.
Well, and as an associate of the deceased, I'll pull out the piece of paper that had forgery written on it. Is this the handwriting of Charles himself?
Yeah, that's Charlie's handwriting. Please, I want to see him one last time, please. And since Doug sort of pulled away from her, like, he's just sort of leaving the room, she sort of starts clinging on to you. Just this. Please. And as she throws her arms around Victor, Joe, go ahead and make a spot hidden check.
Oh, it's a 51, so I will use one luck point to make
excellent
success.
As she hugs him around the neck, imploring him to see her late man's body, you notice a fairly sizable fold of cash, like, stuffed into the back of her dress, sort of. It's like it's just barely sticking out. Maybe it's in her brassiere. Seems like something she would do.
Wait, it's what? A bill?
It's sort of like it's like a fold of money. Like, okay. And it is a pretty heinous amount. Like, it's a lot.
I'm gonna take it.
You're gonna reach into her blouse and take it.
Yeah.
Alright, go ahead and do a Let's just call it a brawl roll, I guess, to quickly snatch him out, unless there's a better stat. I don't think there's sleight of hand, I guess. Or skill, maybe, but there's no way you're getting it without her knowing.
There's a stealth, maybe a dexterity, but
yeah. What's your dex?
40.
Yeah.
So what is she rolling?
She's rolling against her dex.
Okay.
Okay, well, I rolled a 4, so...
God damn it. Yeah, you just sort of, like, swipe it right out of her, and she... Oh! And she like, lets go, like, puts a hand on her chest. And what do you say?
Joe does know her way around a brassiere, so...
What's all this?
Gosh, this... It was Charlie's secret stash. It was money he had saved away, and we were gonna leave. And he's dead now. I see no reason I can't take it. I mean I can't survive on my own. I just work at a public house. I need that money. I gotta get out of here. And she, like, she's telling you this, and her eyes sort of flicker for a moment, and she, like, her eyes drift, like she's hearing something, and she's, I need it.
I will, after seeing the considerable amount of money, also knowing what Charles has probably been up to, I'm going to say, Lucy, look at me.
And by now that you have it in your hand, you know that this is at least $800 to $1,200. It's a shitload of money.
I will say, all right, Charlie was in deep. We know that. You know that.
That's an awful lot of money. Was he perhaps selling certain items to certain
yes,
people?
Yes, of course. Of course he was. He was forging. That's what the boy was helping
what
him do.
What was he forging?
His historical documents. The things he took from the college.
Oh, boy.
What boy?
But, well, the hunter, the boy he associates with. I haven't seen him in some time or heard any mention of him, not even a telephone call. Something happened that I don't know, and I don't know what happened to him. And he would sell the originals, and he would resubmit the fakes back to the college. And that's all I know.
And who did he sell these people to? These items to? Sorry, I had a head injury not long ago.
I told your friend, Mr. Wick. He among other people, even people from Atlantic City, bad people, really bad people.
I'm gonna grab her by the shoulders.
I'm gonna say, Lucy, this isn't safe for you anymore. You have to get out of here.
She sort of relaxes a little bit in your arms. She's like, please help me. I just want to see Charlie one more time.
Absolutely. He's in the college. He's in the cold room. Go, go.
I start kind of ushering her out of the room.
No, please take me there.
I won't. Our call broke down. Get out of here.
I can't be alone. I can't be alone right now.
Why?
I'm scared.
Of what?
You're killing this woman. Are you sending her out without the money? You're just going to keep it?
Tensions are high. I was hoping she wouldn't notice.
You're seeing him manhandle Lucy. We'll go back to Doug. Doug, what are you doing?
This whole time, I've just been writing notes of every name she's mentioned. So if I forge a fair amount of documents, then you can pretty easily.
Dictated, not read.
Yeah, the whole time I was like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I'm just, yeah, crunching numbers. So, I believe this woman is in distress. We should, perhaps, and just put my notepad in my back pocket. We should, inquire further with Mr. Hunter. If he was the associate, maybe try to cut out the professor and take the entire profit for himself. It makes sense. A criminal on one half is not too much to step into another foray or another venture, much as if you begin gambling, it's a slippery slope before you end up forging documents and meet such a fellow. I would like to meet Mr. Hunter, very much so. Unrelated.
That's your business. I don't know how to find the boy. And speaking of boys, there's another nasty one who came from the college. He's been hanging around. He thinks he's so slick. I've seen him out there.
His name is Tony, isn't it?
He's a handsome young man, but he won't leave me alone. And if you're going to keep questioning her, you're going to have to roll on Intimidate.
No, that's all I had.
It's Tony. I look at that. It's Tony.
I must. This is my only chance to take this money and run. I need it desperately, but I also would love to see, Charlie one last time. And anyway, so you're manhandling. What are you gonna do with her, Victor?
I just kind of look at Joe and Doug. I look at you and I say,
as the professional detectives that we are, it seems this money was bought off of goods that belong to the college. It doesn't seem lawful to me that she gets to hold on to it.
That is correct. I believe we should take these funds and return them to those who may need them a little bit more. But we also should not be too harsh on the young lady. She
went to Massive University. Joe, what's your? Are you gonna weigh in on this?
Well, since I'm holding it, I'm just gonna give it back to her because I don't care.
Oh no, full stop, I want us to have the money. Like, I want to steal it for us.
Of course you do.
Yeah, 100%.
You're seeing this stack of $1,000 and you're just like, yeah. I can make that $5,000, baby, no problem.
If you all loan me your small $400 portions that we'll all receive from this money, I could turn it easily into $4,000.
We could let you have this money, or you could give me the money and I can pay you in dividends.
Can I go back to her and say... So you go
and hand it back to her.
I will.
Yeah.
Hang on, Jules.
I'm going to give it back to her and say, we know where you are.
Oh, thank you so much. And as she hands it back, are you two allowing this?
Well, first of all, after seeing Joe hand the money back, I will let go of Lucy. I will turn to Doug real fast and say, did you get the car running?
I did. I'm not sure what happened. It did stall initially, but after a firm whack with the tire iron, it seems fully functional. We should be able to depart whenever we're ready.
In my professional a whack with the tire iron is what you needed.
I took the metal bit that we keep below the seat, and I hit it against the steamy pod, and it happened to start chugging again, so I think we are good to go.
Sounds like you hit the jackpot, dear boy. All right. Well, this is my two cents on the matter. The Dean said he wanted to be updated on everything. I say we go back, tell him everything we've learned about Charles and his debauchery. And while we're at the college, why not take Lucy back there? And we can at least point her in the right direction to see her dearly beloved Charles.
I'll give her a side eye.
And I will say, and from there, I suppose, well, we don't seem to have a heading on this Hunter fella. Well, at least we could head to the roadhouse. Maybe see if anyone there has any sort of links.
All you know about the roadhouse is that she works there.
Okay, well, she works there, and she doesn't know who Hunter is.
Was the painting done by Hunter? It was.
Yep.
Yeah.
Artistic young lad.
He's gotta be.
And I believe he also actually asked Anthony about Hunter, because he'd mentioned
he's another student, right?
Well, he was a
former student. He's aware of him just from... So Lucy's just told you that she saw another college boy outside the house, which could be, you know,
mm-hmm.
Flinders.
But so perhaps we can fix this issue with Mr. Hunter the same way I fixed the issue with the auto, and we give him a solid thwack with the metal bit that we keep under the seat and see what comes of that.
Yeah, I have, if it would be helpful, I have that Wick character's card. It's over there, behind the bed.
I go pick it up.
You go around the bed and you find a floorboard has been pulled out, and you can assume that's where she pulled the money from. She's clearly here to take it and skate. And you find a stack of partial forgeries of historical documents, birth certificates, township documents, things like this. I mean, none of it means much of anything. It's not particularly interesting, but they do appear to be incomplete, some of them, and there is a card, a business card.
Okay.
A couple of others with associates from Atlantic City.
I see this. I'll just kind of pop up from behind the bed and give Lucy a look of disapproval. But I'll grab the card, and I'll also gather the documents for the sole point right now of just showing it to the Dean as evidence, unless anyone else here has any other use for such things.
Not without meeting a few other associates beforehand.
Okay. Can I just pull a quick spot and just see if there's anything else down there? Sorry, Joe, what was that?
No, you don't need to. It's a small space.
I said I think it would be fun to take a look at them.
Alright.
Okay. They all appear, we'll cover that in a bit. So you're gathering her, and there's still, if someone wants to escort her to the car, or you all can, there's, there's still a few rooms left undiscovered, or if you feel like you've gotten everything you need, you can leave. Up to you guys.
I'm sleepy, so I don't
care. I don't care.
Yeah, we can just get her back to the car and, I guess just head back towards the college was...
Okay. As you go out the door, what order are we going in? You taking Lucy down the stairs first?
Unless anyone
Say you're taking Lucy down the stairs first. It's fine. You go, and then the other two will follow. Who's bringing up the rear?
Me, probably.
Okay. As you go down, you go to put the brush back because you don't need it anymore by the fireplace. And you notice as everyone else is left walking out the front door, there's something that's been dropped through the mail slot that was on the front mat that you guys didn't notice on the way in. And it appears to be a sealed letter.
Yeah, I'll pick it up.
Addressed to Charles later from, Miskatonic Sanitarium.
Yes, I will, I'll grab that and crack it open, see what it says.
Yeah, as you walk out and close the door behind you, you are reading it, Dear Mr. Leiter, calling to attain correspondence in regards to your procurement of guardianship for a young Cecil Hunter. Would love to have you come in person and we will discuss further care. It goes on like that for a little while, but it's basically like, please come to the sanitarium. We have to discuss patient care about this young man you've taken guardianship over.
Thanks for listening, everyone. That was another installment of Call of Cthulhu. We'll wrap it up later. Georgia's still there. Say bye, Georgia.
Bye, Georgia.
All right. Thank you to Shannon. Thank you to Brandon. We love you guys, and we'll catch everyone later. See you next time. Spooky.
Thank you for tuning in to this month's episode of Call of Cthulhu. Now, a sneak peek at next month's episode, the grand finale!
A second, that was the best that you could hit me? Oh, I swear, Miss Joe, I cannot. You've got to go to you got to find some time. Come on, we...
Serpent, Assorp, Tunadorp!
So, do we want to maybe see what the news may be regarding Charles and his,
dear boy, Charles is dead.
Oh no, I must have. Oh, I missed this whole thing. Wow.